Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. We're back. It's Bill and Wendy. Thrilled to be here on a Tuesday. As an added bonus, now let me start out by telling you that today's show is action-packed. Bridget Carey will be here. It's Tech Tuesday. Comedian Brian Regan, one of the funniest guys in the history of the planet, and noted pet expert Steve Dale. But as an added bonus, Wendy smells like oatmeal. You do. You smell just like oatmeal.
I am so sorry.
Why do you smell so much like oatmeal?
Because my back is spasming.
Oh, all right. That
makes
sense.
And I have a heating pad that is, like, there's oats in it. And it's, like, moist. Yeah.
Do most heating pads have oats in it?
Well, it's...
In them?
It's a moist heat. You microwave it, and it smells like oatmeal, and I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's okay. There are way more unpleasant aromas that you could smell like.
Did you look in the fridge there? I think there's some syrup.
Yeah, put the syrup on your heating pad.
That's what I love about you guys.
You'll smell like
you're
a balanced breakfast.
You can make it self-adhesive.
I smell like Kaboom cereal.
I'm okay with that.
And I don't know why. You know why you smell like oatmeal. I have no idea why I smell like Kaboom cereal.
Well, I'd like to know if you have a voodoo doll of me, because you certainly do have Kevin Hart. I haven't spoken to you since all your hate went public, and then all of a sudden he bailed.
Again, let me remind the kids listening, there's no hate involved. There's just confusion involved when speaking about Kevin Hart.
I guess.
But Kevin was named host of the Academy Awards, and then just seconds later, that title was stripped of him.
So who does it?
Well, you know who put his name in and wants to do it, and this is a crazy idea, but John C. Reilly wants to do it. Did you see that over the weekend?
No, but he would be great.
He has volunteered because no one wants to do it.
I thought the Academy named Moonlight the winner.
That was a few years ago.
Oh.
That was a couple of years ago. Seriously, this is one of the most coveted jobs in show business, and nobody wants it, mostly because the timing is strange. Usually you got 5, 6, 7 months to prepare, and this is just a month and a half.
That is quick. Were you telling me off the air, was it you who said John Mulaney should be doing it?
I would like him to do it.
It was or my son Michael said...
That would be one of my picks. He'd be high up on my list. Yeah, I would love to see John Mulaney do it. If you didn't smell so much like oatmeal, I would like you to do it. But all the stars would go, this is confusing.
You know, that's why I'm wondering if you have a voodoo doll of me, because yesterday I took the day off, and you did too, because we have extra days to burn.
Yeah.
But I went to get my yearly checkup on my knee replacement, because last year at this time I wasn't here, I had my knee replaced.
Right.
And
happy birthday to your knee,
by the way. I made it a cake.
Yeah.
Hey, I just found some raisins if you want.
Shut up. Brown sugar, too?
No, this is supposed to be our personal nickname.
And I have some IT band issues, iliotibial band, which is causing some pain in my knee.
I don't know what that is.
It's a muscle that runs along the side of your thigh from your hip. It connects to your knee joint.
They did mostly R&B, Bill.
Did they? Yeah. Now I know who they are.
And it goes down. I think on the side of your calf as well. So it's just like a giant rubber band.
Oh.
And they have to move that when they do a replacement. And it's just really tight. So he injected my IT band, and then he injected my knee. And when I tensed up on the table, I twisted my back funny or something.
Oh,
and now it's just spasming.
Oh, no.
But the good news. No, it comes about every, my contractions are about every 5 minutes.
Oh. Boil some water, Steve.
It's a time-release oatmeal.
What an age we live in.
Right.
But now my back is sore because poor Jimmy Mack, I made him massage it like for hours last night, so now it's really tender.
Did you share the bed with him last night?
No, he gave it to me because I had to like lay in weird contortions so I could stretch this out.
Could you take some pictures of that for the internet, please?
Come on, please.
Come on.
I did not miss either of you. Can I just say that?
Why?
Because I just didn't.
We're concerned for you, and Jimmy.
And I said didn't weird because what is with the millennials saying button? It's a button.
Right.
I can't take it anymore.
It's been changed.
Where are my mittens?
That's the new pronunciation.
I need a button to contain my mittens. I can't. What happened?
I don't know.
It's that age group.
I know.
I cannot stand
it. That's how you say things.
Did you get a kitten?
I didn't get a kitten. He would eat all my buttons.
I can't take it.
I don't want that. Well, other than smelling like oatmeal, you seem to be in good spirits.
Well, the good news is
I would apologize to I would just walk around to strangers and go, if you smell oatmeal, don't panic.
What's the first thing I said when I walked in?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I smell like oatmeal. You know, nice you listen to me.
I'm
I heard you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Jasmine's in charge of listening.
And Jasmine, I thought that your hair looked good, but I guess I didn't vocalize it. So
it's okay. Thank you.
But that's yeah, so nice. Better oatmeal than onions.
Oh, there's what you seriously. There's 1,000 things. If you're going to smell like something, you oatmeal. I don't know if you selected it. It probably
I didn't.
Just was automatic.
There are rolled oats in here, right? Or husks or something.
Just think if it was malt oatmeal, that would be awful.
I love malt oatmeal.
Oh no,
I love. Do they still make it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, they haven't made it in 32 years. They've just got some left over.
Nobody bought it. It for decades.
It's next to the Underwood Deviled Ham, which right. I also loved.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's all in the... There should be a department of every store of stuff that nobody right. really wants.
No, really, clearance.
Well, the good news is my knee feels better.
That's the good news. There, I knew we'd find a silver lining. I knew it would be there. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. So much stuff on the show today. Like I said, Bridget Carey will be here because it's Tech Tuesday. Brian Regan. They don't make them funnier than Brian Regan and Steve Dale, noted pet expert Steve Dale, all ahead. Here's some music. I have waited 3 days to talk about this story with you, and I thought I found, you know when you comb the internet and you find a little corner that nobody has visited, and you go, nobody knows this story, I can't wait to share it with people, and then I heard Steve Grzanich mention it as part of the news. There is a woman...
I know this
who,
story.
You know it just based on
yes.
that? I can name that news story in 3 notes.
Does it involve self-help? Did she do something to help herself?
No.
Okay, because I have a story
no.
to share with you.
This is totally different. This is a woman in Massachusetts who's very upset at Amazon and its CEO, Jeff Bezos, because she has a little girl who's 6 years old, and the little girl's name is Alexa. And she says that all the kids there in Massachusetts, all the kids that live in Lynn, Massachusetts, are making fun of her daughter, Alexa, and telling her, Alexa, to do things like turn on their television, turn off their telephones, and it's driving her little kid nutty.
And that's Jeff Bezos' fault? Or is it Bezos?
Jeff Bezos. It's, I mean, technically, no.
And you know, every time you say it, it's going off, people's are going off.
I know that.
So what did we change it to? We changed the name, yeah. I can't remember what it was.
A 6-year-old girl named Alexa is being mercilessly teased by her classmates because she shares her name with Amazon's virtual assistant. This according to the girl's mom. Her mother, Lauren, told NBC New York that she's personally seen her daughter being bullied at her school by members of the public.
It could be worse if they're just saying, turn on my phone or...
Right.
Could be
right.
way worse.
Well, didn't you have the similar problem with your son Jeeves a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but then that went out of style, so he's fine.
How lucky for you. She said that she has overheard them laughing, mocking, and shouting commands at her daughter as though she was the Amazon assistant.
See, if I were that girl, I would like the extra attention, quite honestly. I would.
I'm shocked that you haven't changed your name to
I
Alexa.
Might.
Now, help me on the timeline on this. This girl is 6. Was Alexa non-existent 6 years ago? When did Alexa come to be? It was around 6 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think her birth might
have. It was right
have.
Around there. The bullying took such a toll that Lauren wrote a letter to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos to beg him not to give tech female names in the future. So she wants to pave the way for other women in the future to not live through what her daughter's living through.
How's your daughter Siri doing?
She's all right. She's fine. A Massachusetts mom has revealed that her 6-year-old daughter is being bullied. Oh, I told you that part. Kids are telling her, turn on my TV and tell me today's weather. I have to say, for 6-year-old kids, that's pretty good sense of humor. Don't you think?
Yes.
For a kid to figure that out and go, look, that kid has the same name as our device. I'm just going to use it and tell her to do things. I mean, I know that bullying is bad, but I give them high marks for being creative. Lauren wrote in a letter that she recently sent to Bezos, they laugh at her and they treat her like a servant. And this has been an ongoing issue everywhere we go. Lauren, who addressed Bezos as a father and a human being rather than the CEO of Amazon, also wrote that people often jokingly ask if the child Alexa can do the same
thing. Stop saying the name, really. People are calling.
That... The device does. So how often does that happen, that somebody comes up to the mom and go, hey, I noticed your daughter's name is just like does she do what does? Does that happen a lot?
Can I tell you that's a pretty popular name? She's not the only one that has it.
Very popular. So what do you do if you're Amazon? How do you squelch this? What do you do?
Nothing.
How do you say to the mom, "Hey, this it's a coincidence." That happens from time to time. What if you had the same name? What if you grew up with a name and then somebody did something horrible that had the same name as you? There's nothing you could do about it, right?
No.
Remember AIDS candies?
Yeah, AYDS, right?
AYDS.
They were like chocolatey caramels.
Dietary chocolate candies.
And then all of a sudden, appetite suppressant.
The AIDS situation happened and they just were gone.
They might have been gone before.
No, they still existed.
Really?
Yeah, I remember seeing commercials for them all the time. But there's no way to predict when you're naming somebody or something what the future will bring.
Imagine if there's another Steve Bertrand out there.
I imagine that all the time.
He's been on the business lunch with me.
There's another Bill Lau.
That's true.
Oh, really, there is.
Oh,
that's true.
You're right. I forgot about that.
Steve Bertrand on the Winchester business lunch.
He composes music for TV shows in California.
And that's weird because the other Bill Luff is a stunt pilot.
Yeah, just like me.
The other Wendy Snyder I know is a realtor. How
is
exciting.
That true? Our own John Williams has a namesake, the famous composer John Williams.
So, I mean, it happens all
right.
the time. And mm-hmm-hmm is a very, very popular name.
Do you think because of the importance of... it's so hard to say these sentences without saying that word. But do you think more or less people will name their children, their daughters, that?
Less.
Less, really? Yeah? Because they don't want it to be synonymous with...
because it became oversaturated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
I just want to do a test if anybody has anything out there. What if I say Alexis?
I don't think that works then.
I was just curious.
It won't start their
unit.
It won't start their unit up. Right. Thank you.
I thought you were going to tell me about the woman who died from a brain-eating amoeba.
Oh, I know this
after
story,
after using
too.
The neti pot.
I know. Now, help me understand this. There was something in the water at her home because she was
parasite.
Just using water out of her tap.
But that's what I always did. I never used the distilled water, and I had to stop using the neti pot because I had used too much pressure, and I shot it up there so much that I gave myself a sinus infection. So my doctor's orders, don't ever do that again.
Wow.
How did you increase the pressure?
I just, you're supposed to kind of do it gently, and it goes up one nostril and comes out the other one.
Right.
But
well,
you
it wasn't
were doing
coming
it-
out, so I was like... squeezing it, and I was obviously congested, and I shoved all that stuff up into
So you were using like a neti syringe thing.
Well, the bottle, yeah.
Ah.
Right.
Yeah, the neti pot is just, that was...
You're going to love the bidet I got you for Christmas.
Don't use tap water.
No. I'll never forget that bidet.
I'd like to tap that water.
Oh, no.
Wow, right there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, no. It smells like oatmeal in here, Steve. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news and then all kinds
of
fun ahead. Yeah, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Yes, Bridget Carey will be here later to talk Tech Tuesday Talk. Comedian Brian Regan is coming to town New Year's Eve. And noted pet expert Steve Dale. But first, before anything else, before we get into anything of meaty substance, Wendy, my friend Steve Bertrand had quite a situation over the weekend. He thinks he may have done something either illegal, immoral, or both.
Uh-oh.
So I really thought this was a chance for you to scold me, Wendy. I bought these pants at, I'd like to apologize to the people at J. Crew.
Mm-hmm.
And took them home. You know, they were just like khaki sort of skinny pants. And you know how the legs are skinnier now?
Yeah.
So I put them on to go to work. I wear them here for an hour or two. I'm like, yeah, these just are not going to work. This is
because
not.
Why, Steve? They didn't feel right. They didn't look
like
right.
The feel of them.
Yeah,
right. I just didn't like them.
They're velour.
They were velour.
Oh, cool. They're not.
They had lights up the side.
Right,
oh yeah,
Christmas
pants. They were Steve's Christmas pants.
Well,
actually,
Christmas.
You know, Bill, they would have worked for several holidays.
Oh really?
Not just Christmas.
Oh nice.
But they just didn't work for me.
They were too skinny. Is that it?
Yeah,
or
too,
the material?
Well,
was...
You know, the muscles in my legs are very bulky,
yep.
And yeah, they were just too huggy.
A little too huggy.
So I had the receipt and everything, and
yeah.
I'm like, you know, you can return a blender if you've used it and don't like it. And so I brought them back, and I kind of. Well, I think I was made to feel kind of like I shouldn't have, like I said, oh, they said, oh, the tags are off. I said, yeah, but I've got the receipt. And they said, oh, you wore these?
Mm.
I'm like, well, yeah, I did, but I just didn't like the comfort of
them. But that's allowed, isn't it? Can't you?
Because I know there are people who like will buy a prom dress or a dress for a wedding and then return it. Right? That was not what I was doing. I didn't buy these to wear them.
No, because if they were comfortable, you would have
kept them
and maybe bought another color.
Yeah.
And I don't think that rule applies. Like with a big, important event dress that's hundreds and hundreds of dollars,
right.
That's one thing.
Right.
But these pants were probably $40 or $50, right, Steve?
I would never buy pants as expensive as that.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were about $40, $50. Yeah. Bucks.
Technically.
But they said several times, like, well, you know, you should really try them on here, and this is why, and... So I kind of felt bad.
Did you still have the tags? I know they weren't attached.
I had taken the tags off.
But did you return them?
Well, the garbage had been thrown out that day. So when I got home from work, the tags were gone.
All right. Here's why everybody in my family calls me Mini Pearl. Because a lot of times I will buy things and leave the price tag on it. Like if I get some home decor at Marshall's or TJ Maxx and I'm not quite sure if I love it.
Right.
I leave the tags on it.
Wendy,
then,
in all fairness, I think your family calls you Mini Pearl because when you enter a room, you always say, howdy. I think that's more why they call you Mini Pearl.
But then it's like when I decide to keep it... Several years go by, and like you take a picture off the wall to move it, and it's like the tag is still on it.
Right.
I had a lamp with a tag on for probably 3 years, and Jim said, "Are you keeping this? Can I take this off?"
Yeah.
But technically, they're not supposed to return it if the tags are off.
Oh.
But most people will. I mean, if you just say, listen, I buy your stuff all the time,
right.
And I decide I tried them on, and I thought, wow, these feel good. But upon wearing them throughout the day, I'm not meant to be a man in jeggings.
Well,
Did you have to share that much backstory, Steve? Did they require that you tell the tale of why you didn't like these pants?
There was a whole interview. They took me in the office.
Dark room?
I just kind of said that I just don't like the fit of them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, the tags are gone. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, you wore them?
Oh.
And I just don't want to be one of those people. And I asked a few. I asked around because I didn't want to be one of those people.
Would it have been easier if instead of a return, if you had exchanged them for a different pair of pants? Would that have been an easier move?
I don't know.
You just want it out of there.
I
want my money back.
But you would have taken a credit if they said, I'm sorry, they've been worn.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. They shouldn't have given you your money back.
I always keep the tags for about a week or 10 days.
If I have
to return them, I go, look,
trying them on and the tags fell off.
To be perfectly honest, I took the tags off and set them aside, but we have a cleaning lady who came in and took them and threw them away.
Oh.
So otherwise, I would have had them.
I hate when my cleaning lady throws garbage away.
What?
I'm kidding.
Right.
But I know what you mean.
Right.
And I wouldn't feel bad, Steve, because you know what? They didn't have to take them back. They should have just issued you credit.
Well, but I mean, if really though, you buy something else, you use it, it doesn't work for you. I thought people return stuff all the time. I'm not a big return guy.
Well, I bought a pair of boots yesterday, and I left the tags on them, and I only wore them in the house.
Yeah.
And I loved them, and then I put them on this morning to wear them, and I'm like, I don't like these anymore, so I'm going to return them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the tags are on. They weren't worn outside.
One Christmas, now, you have to know as a background for the story, my parents were notorious for buying me things that weren't good. They just went out of their way to find something that was either the wrong size, shape, color, texture, or all of the above. So one year for Christmas, they got me a bunch of clothes. I'd always beg them, please don't buy me clothes because we're oh forever. We've never, ever successfully pulled this off. But every year I would get more clothes. And I got a bunch of clothes. None of them were good. I put them in a closet and just forgot about them. And then a year later, I found them and I brought them back to the store. It was exactly a year. And they took them back. No questions asked.
And they gave you cash back?
I got credit
back.
But a year later.
Some of those stores are pretty fantastic with returns like that. If
there
are tags and obviously not worn. I shop at Marshall's and TJ's probably the most just because it really you do save a lot of money and it's not a regulars anymore like it used to be.
They used to go
they
out
did.
Of their way to tell you
on the tag,
hey,
it said
irregular stuff.
Yeah.
Come on in. If you have an extra arm or something, we can help you out. But now they've decided, Marshall's and TJ Maxx, which I believe are owned by the same company now, right?
Yes.
It wasn't always that way.
No.
But now they're owned by the same company, and they've now said that the days of irregularity are over.
Yeah.
We have stuff that fits a human.
You can buy something for that.
But a lot of times it's like they have surplus from a past season.
Yes.
So if it's over a year, they'll give you store credit, but you can't. I think it's 30 days for getting cash back. But actually, there was one time I returned a mirror, and it was... The tag was on it, and yeah. I was in a closet in a bag. I forgot I got it.
Did you say to them, hey, I look in this mirror, and it doesn't look like me. I got to return this.
There's something wrong with this
Somebody
mirror.
Somebody in this mirror is not me.
You know, in London, they call it TK Maxx.
Do they?
Yeah, it's the same font and everything, but it's the TK Maxx.
Why would it be different there?
I don't know.
That's curious. I didn't know that.
But they wouldn't take it back because since they get things past season, this was way past season.
Yeah. Way past.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Interesting. So, Steve, the bottom line is you wore the pants, you returned the pants, yes. They're mad at you there.
Right, I'm not going to go back.
You're never going to shop there again.
Well, I will. They were friendly, they were fine. But they just, you know, you got that feeling that...
They were trying to make you feel a little guilty.
Well, they should
have. I want to back up, because I don't want to rip on the store at all, because they did take it back.
Yeah.
I just walked out of there.
But with that disappointed look that parents like to get, you know, that, oh, I'll take it back, but I'm not happy with you.
I don't like that. I hate to disappoint people.
Right.
I'd rather people be mad at me than disappointed in me.
Had she called me an idiot, I would have felt better.
Bill, you better return those Jeggings you bought.
I'll return them.
Bertrand for Christmas.
All right. I'll do that. We'll take a little break in a second. And then after that, we'll talk about the world of technology. Bridget Carey will join us.
Hey, that music means it's a Tech Tuesday. We were talking about Steve Bertrand and his jeans and returning things. I got to tell you, it is such a joy purchasing things from Amazon.
Send them to your house as you're ordering them.
Yeah, but no questions asked about returns.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's so great.
Do you know, a lot of the stuff you return through Amazon and other outlets like that goes directly to liquidation warehouses.
Oh, it does?
I heard you say that. Was that on the business lunch?
Yeah, I think that might have been with Ian from CNET talking about that.
Well, now Bridget Carey's here from CNET, and she is a senior editor at CNET.com. Bridget, really and truly, Amazon just makes it so much easier to purchase gifts, and really, they don't question your returns hardly at all.
No, it's only kind of a pain sometimes when there's a third-party seller,
yes.
And you don't get questioned it, but you gotta like, oh no, I need a package now for it, and how did I wind up paying for my own shipping? You know, sometimes I've been in that position, but at least you can get it done without being questioned too much.
And other things in the tech world is there are apps that, Bill, what do you have, one app on your phone?
I have an app, yeah.
All right, I have a plethora of apps, and I'm sure...
You have one app?
Yep. It tells me when my hot chocolate is ready.
What app is it? I'm just the Facebook app?
Yes. I think so, yeah.
He doesn't even know.
I'm not sure what it
is. All right, well, I go to the Weather Channel a lot, and I'm worried. Talk about some apps that are tracking us. They know where we are, what we're doing, and when we go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you always kind of knew that, you know, your information was kind of being shared with apps, but there was a New York Times report that really showed the extent of how much location data was being captured and shared by our apps. Things like the Weather Channel app and there's like, you know, dozens of them out there. Weather Bug is another one, sports apps. And what they're doing is they're saying, oh, well, we need your location so we can, you know, give you a custom experience. But really, they are pinpointing you with like latitude and longitude and how often you're at an exact home location and when you travel to work, and this whole map of where you've been, like some family circus dotted thing, is being sent to like 40 different companies in some cases. Like WeatherBug was sending it to 40 different companies. So okay, is this anonymous information? Well, not to the point where if someone can see, all right, who was at this one house location? For example, the New York Times saw, okay, there's one person coming from upstate New York at this particular house, traveling every day 14 miles to a middle school over here. Well, there's only one employee who did that. And then you can go deeper and say, oh, this person then went to a Weight Watchers meeting, and this person then went to their dermatologist, and then went to their ex-boyfriend's house. And you know, you can really start to pinpoint things. And so there's this question of, all right, who exactly is getting all this information, and can it be used against us for someone who really wants to track you? So it's the idea that, all right, so I download some sports app that says it wants my location, so that way, you know, it can give me the sports teams. But wait a minute, you're selling it also to 16 different advertising companies, and where is that going after that? So, and then with the Weather Channel app, you know, IBM owns that, and they're using that for hedge funds.
How is that possible?
You know, that one's a little harder for me to get my head around.
I don't get that at all.
It's an experiment. It's an experiment in what they can do with this data. And, you know, give it to their two friends and their two friends and their two friends. And this is how we wind up with our information in the wrong hands.
And so think about it. I'm not that worried about the Weather Channel having my information and IBM for that matter either. But if the Weather Channel app can do it, then people who can really destroy our lives can be hacking this as well.
Right. I mean, it's just about how far can it go until you reach someone who's malicious or just wants to be a little more intrusive into what you're doing to the point where you get advertisements that are way too specific about you. But if you're feeling weirded out, you can turn these things off in settings. You just have to – sometimes you can't use the app at all unless you have location turned on, but you do have some power. I think you have sometimes more power in an iPhone than an Android phone. But, you know, be wary of what you give permission to for your location, because even if it's just, oh, it's just for weather. Well, not necessarily. It's being sold for advertising.
All right.
And if you go to CNET.com, Bridget just wrote up a story, summary about the biggest tech stories of the year. Why don't you run some of them down for us?
Well, we're talking about data. You know, Facebook, you know, had one heck of a bad year, repeatedly, you know, failing our trust with scandals and controversies and how it handles our data. I remember Cambridge Analytica. I think that is such a big story because not only was, you know, Zuckerberg and other executives hauled in front of Congress to answer for this stuff, but it left us questioning the role of this network and that there should be government regulation. So that's a conversation that's going to keep happening next year, too. We had something called GDPR in the European Union that was giving European Union citizens more control over their privacy, but that essentially rippled to us because every company that does business here and in Europe was kind of starting to enact the same privacy transparency. So as soon as this was enacted, suddenly, oh, more breaches were reported faster. You might have been hearing about breaches much sooner if there was a data breach. So that's a good thing, but that kind of goes in line with government regulation and if we're going to start seeing the same things over here. And then there's also a lot of mergers that happened this year, AT&T and Time Warner, Disney and Fox, that's going to shape up next year, Sprint and T-Mobile, how is that going to end up next year because the FCC is still reviewing that. But I think one tech item that really is going to change everything for us is what Google did. They had something called Google Duplex, and it was a demo on how a computer can talk to a human, call up a hair salon, call up a restaurant, and make a reservation for you, and the person on the other line cannot even tell it's a robot because of all the, okay, sure, thank you, like all the little quirks of language are now in the robot itself. So next year when you start talking to someone on the phone, you're going to have to question if the person on the other line is a robot or human. I think that's going to be a very interesting development coming up.
Well, they've already tried that a little bit. Like if you're talking to a tech service and they ask your information, they'll go, hold on, let me look that up for you and stuff.
And you hear the click, 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 click of the keyboard.
They're not looking anything up. It's a computer.
That's what drives me nuts. Yeah. They do put a sound effect in there.
Yeah.
Like you're a computer.
Well, now they're hiding that sound effect with literally the computer going, let me see.
Oh.
Would you think a computer said or would you think a computer did clicks? At least your brain knows you're talking to, like, a computer that sounds human. These actually are trying to mask it. So Google has, you know, is starting to test this now, so I don't know how it's going to shape up next year.
So, Bridget, I'm sure you've done this where you're talking to somebody and you're not positive it's a human or a computer, and you ask straight out, are you real or are you a computer? They do that in commercials. You see that in a commercial. Are they legally required to tell you the difference, or can they try to hide that if you ask?
No legal requirement, but Google says, after they get all this pushback from people being creeped out, that they will give disclosure by saying, "Hi, I'm Google Assistant. I like to book an appointment for Wendy." Okay, already, is your brain still thinking about the word assistant?
No.
Or are you thinking about, like, desk assistant?
Right.
So, what is disclosure, and how much will it be disclosed is the key, I think.
Good.
Well, thank God I got the alert that Google Plus is going under 4 months early. No one's been using it for the last how many years?
Oh, my gosh. I know. There was a lot of weird tech things that you didn't know were still around that are going to go kaput. Google Plus is one of them. The Volkswagen Beetle, that's going away next year.
Yeah, they're
too.
Done.
That's a weird
no
one.
Slug bug
and,
games
and
anymore.
GeoCities. Yep. GeoCities, we thought that was gone long ago, but it was still holding on in Japan. So, yeah, that's also going away next year.
All right, and my iPhone, I have a 6S. I think that's what you have, too, but yours is newer than mine, Bill.
Yeah.
It keeps, like, just shutting down on me, so it's time to get a new battery. And, of course, I've procrastinated, and it's $29 to get a new iPhone battery up until the end of the year. But after December 31st, what's the real price?
Oh, it's going to cost you about $80. So this is if you have an old iPhone, the 6, the 6S or 7. Apple said, you know what, you know, our software and everything, they admitted that maybe you need a new battery replaced. So, yeah, they offered this $30 battery replacement plan, but that was a while ago, and it's going to expire at the end of the year. So if you're not planning on getting a new phone, at least get yourself a new battery for the holidays. Definitely don't want to be paying $80 for it.
Can I still get those exploding batteries from last year, Bridger, or are those impossible to find?
That was only for Samsung.
It's a hot item.
I like
All right. Well, thank you so much. She is Bridget Carey. You can find her at CNET.com, and your summary of the top tech stories can be found there as well, correct?
Yeah, it's all right there. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, perfect. Bridget.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Here's a quick question for you. Who is funnier than Brian Regan? Brian Regan is coming to town New Year's Eve.
Let Brian answer that.
I'll ask Brian that question, Wendy. Brian, who is funnier than you? Give me a short list.
I have a long list.
Oh, you do? We're here till noon. Let's do it.
No, there are many, many very, very good comedians out there. So, I just happen to be one of many that can make some people laugh every now and then. I'm not good at promoting myself.
Oh, no, you're fine.
That's the hardest part of life, isn't it? Like my resume, I couldn't write anything good about that.
Yeah.
Someone asked me about myself. It's so hard talk about yourself, isn't it, Brian?
I find that to be the case. I was doing a morning radio show one time, and they said, tell people, why they should come out to your show. And I said, well, I'd like to think I'm adequate. And they're like, yeah, that'll move some tickets. If you guys want to hear some adequate comedy, I'm your guy.
Adequate.
Brian, last night I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and he had Ellen DeGeneres on, and he said, what was your big break to Ellen DeGeneres? And she rolled her eyes, and she said, at some point I was named the funniest person in America. There was a contest that Showtime did to find the funniest person in America, and she won it. And then she explained how the pressure is unbearable because everywhere you go, people go, well, she was funny, but the funniest person in America? You get that, don't you? You understand that.
Well, they had... I know what she's talking about because they used to have a thing called the American Comedy Awards.
Yeah.
And I was nominated for it one year for Best Male Comic of the Year. I don't know why they cut us in half like that. But and I did not win. And it was a great credit because, you know, hey, he was nominated. It's like, okay, this guy might be pretty funny. The next year, I won, and I never used the credit again because... You can't follow that intro. You know, when he won Comedian of the Year, people just sit back and fold their arms and go, all right, prove it, clown.
Don't you even tell? Sometimes,
so don't ever win anything out there, folks. That's a message for the kids.
Winning is overrated. Do not win. But sometimes, have you ever had to tell the MC when they're doing, you know, when they're bringing you up, when they're introducing you, ease up just a little because it's too hard to beat what you're telling them about me. You know what I mean?
What's hard for me is I feel great that comedians like what I do and stuff like that. But if I go to do a guest set somewhere,
yeah,
you know, I think the average Joe Blow has no clue who I am. And it's hard when an MC goes on stage and says, ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise guest. Mm-hmm. You are going to be blown away as soon as this guy hits the stage.
Yep.
Please welcome a guy you never heard of. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Sure.
You know? And then I hit the stage, and I can tell like 75% of the audience is like, do you know who this guy is? I've never seen this guy before.
But now, do you take some solace in this? You know, for years, when I did stand-up, guys would get together and they'd talk about the greatest. They'd talk about George Carlin, they'd talk about Richard Pryor, and on. But now, whenever people mention today's comics, like, who are the best of today's comics, your name is always in that list.
I am completely honored when anybody likes what I do. You know, so every now and then a comedian will say something nice about me, and that means the world to me.
And now with your Netflix specials, that's going to get you more saturated as well because the young kids today are watching lots of Netflix.
Yeah. Well, I'm fortunate. Netflix gave me a thing to do two specials. I've already done one. I've got the next one coming out in a little over a year. But they've also given me my own series.
Nice.
Which streams Christmas Eve. Oh. It's called Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan. And it's a hybrid show. It's me doing a lot of my older stand-up bits, and then those segue into sketches. And, you know, kind of happy about it.
That's excellent.
It's a four-episode series, and it comes out Christmas Eve.
I can't wait to see this.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it anything like Breaking Bad?
It's a hybrid between Breaking Bad and American Idol.
Oh, I love it. I will DVR every episode of that, Brian. That sounds exciting. Yeah. Brian, for a while, and I don't know if this is still the case or not, your brother was also a stand-up comic. Is he still doing this?
He still is.
How about that?
He's very, very funny. He did like four Lettermans. He did a couple of Tonight shows. People in the comedy world are very, very into Dennis. I think people might know about me a little bit more than him, but he's great. And he was one of the writers on the show that I just told
nice.
You about. Yeah,
good.
It was great to have him involved with that.
I think the first comedy special you had, was it called A Couple of Jokers? Was that the name of it?
Pair of Jokers.
Pair of Jokers. It was you and Dennis, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Dennis is older than me, but he started doing comedy after I had been doing it for a few years. And
did that bug you at first?
Not at all. Not at all.
Did you guys ever fight as kids? Because it sounds like you have a lovely relationship.
No. You know, it's like I don't see how somebody else doing well hurts me. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I love when he, you know, has something good happen for him. And that Pair of Jokers thing, he'd only been doing comedy like 2 years.
Wow.
And now he's on his Showtime special. And, you know, I'd been doing it for a handful of years before him. So he really rose to the occasion, man.
If one of your kids said, hey, I like what you do. I like what Uncle Dennis does. I'm going to do the same. I also want to be a stand-up. What would you tell him?
I would say go for it. But
yeah.
My oldest son does not want to do that. He wants to be a corporate lawyer.
Wow.
Which I'm
the
like,
opposite of what you do.
He did not get the brains from me, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
And then my daughter has expressed an interest in acting, which I think is pretty cool.
That's
you know,
great.
She's only 15, and so whatever they want to do, as long as it's good and positive and doesn't hurt people, I'm for it.
Nice.
So you're going to be at the Chicago Theater on New Year's Eve. Do you like working New Year's Eve? Does it take the pressure off of finding a party to go to?
Yeah, I guess you found out my ruse here. I have no social life whatsoever, so what I do is I do shows in front of thousands of people. Yeah, I'm at the Chicago Theater New Year's Eve. Show starts at 8. And I want to clarify, because sometimes people are confused, like if I'm ringing in the new year, you know, like if I'm on stage doing the countdown. It's not like that. If you want to come out, our show's over like at 9:45, so you can come see the show, have a couple laughs, and still go hit your favorite party.
Brian, I'm sure you have been on stage at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve. You can never get that audience back, can you? Once it becomes midnight on New Year's Eve, it's over, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a thing in the comedy club world. If the waiters and waitresses pass out the noisemakers anytime sooner than 10 minutes till midnight, the show is dead in the water, because adults are like little kids, and if you give them things that make noise, they're going to make noise.
Yeah, no question about it. Are you okay time-wise? Can we take a break, or are you in a hurry?
No, I'd love to chat.
More with Brian Regan. He's performing on New Year's Eve at the Chicago Theater. You got a couple of options. You can go to the Chicago Theater box office or Ticketmaster for tickets. I'm telling you, one of the best comics I've ever seen, Brian Regan. We'll take a quick break and then return. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Brian Regan's our guest, one of the funniest comics you've ever seen or will ever see or could ever imagine, could ever draw on a people, whatever. He's just funny. That's all I'm going to tell you. He's performing New Year's Eve at the Chicago Theater. You can get tickets through the Chicago Theater box office or Ticketmaster. Brian, for years, if you did stand-up comedy and you got asked to host the Academy Awards, that was the best. That was the biggest you could possibly imagine. This year, there's no host right now. If they called you and said, Brian, we want you to host the Academy Awards, what would you say?
You know, that's, I feel bad for Kevin. What happened to him?
Yeah.
You know, the odds of them calling me and asking if I wanted to host the Academy Awards is pretty low. But I would probably, I don't know what I would do. That's a good question.
What if they called to just have you host a Rotary luncheon somewhere in Nebraska? Would you take that?
In fact, they did call while we were on hold.
Oh, they did?
I already took that
All trip. Right. Good for you. That's great
news.
I
just hope they don't go back and check my Twitter feed from 18 years ago.
But that's a plum assignment, right? Hosting the Academy Awards, wouldn't that just be like the best thing
nowadays
in the world?
Don't you think it's almost impossible nowadays?
I think a lot of those gigs are very challenging. Like the Academy Awards is a challenging gig. You know, hosting the Presidential Correspondents Dinner, or the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Yep.
You know, that's gotten very controversial over the last few years, and I've always said that I want my career, I want to get big enough, but underneath the radar where anyone would ever ask me to do anything like that. So I think I'm in a prime. I'm right where I want to be.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
Brian, this year with the Correspondents Dinner, they've decided to not even have a comic. They're not even doing that this time around.
I know. So, I don't know. It's kind of sad, but...
they're taking our laughter away, man.
No more laughter. There's
they
a
really
war on laughter, Brian.
No more laughter. Yep. Well, the president didn't go for the last 2 years.
Right.
So the president doesn't go. Now there's not going to be a comedian. So next year, none of the correspondents are going to go.
Right.
That's not right.
There's going to be a bunch of servers walking around with trays.
Brian, at what point did you say to yourself, I'm going to do stand-up comedy, but I'm going to do it clean so everyone can see this? A lot of people kind of rely on dirtier language, but you never seem to. That's a conscious effort, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when I first started, I was not completely clean. I had a handful of jokes with some foul language, if you will. But I was always like 95% clean, even when I started, you know, and I had that little bit of pepper I would put on there. And I just decided I didn't want to do, I decided to go completely clean, not for wholesome reasons, but because I have OCD. I'm like, I want to be 100% something.
Mm-hmm.
I never got 100 on any test in school, and I thought, well, here's something I could get 100 on, and I can be 100% clean. So I just enjoy the challenge of it.
And there is a challenge to it, too, isn't there? Because
it's
a lot
be
of guys,
tougher.
It is. It's like they go to the dirtier language or material as like a crutch, but you just never seem to need to or ever venture out that way. So good for you.
Well, thanks. But I always make it clear that, you know, I don't say that the way I do it is better than another way. You know, there are comedians out there who are dirty or blue, whatever you want to call it, who are fantastic, you know? I think if it's truthful and organic to what you do, go for it. But it's not truthful or organic for me, you know? Yeah. So I do it the way I like to do it.
You also don't get too political, and in this day and age, that says something, because it's been very divided. Well, what's that been like for you the last couple of years?
Well, I try to do the kind of jokes that both sides will laugh at, you know? I mean, I've never been a political comedian anyway, but just the same as the dirty thing,
yeah.
I believe if somebody out there does want to go for it, go for it. You know, I'm like a freedom of speech guy.
Sure.
You know, if you want to take a side and have that be represented through your comedy, then that's cool. But that's not, you know, I'm up there talking about donuts and donut sprinkles.
Yeah.
I don't want my next joke to be something where half the audience gets up and walks out.
Right. If only there was a way to combine those two, both political humor and donut sprinkles. There must be some way. There's got to be there.
Yeah, well, I'll explore it.
All right. Also, you know, one of the things I enjoy the most about you is a lot of the characters who are in your stories, in your jokes, are in some way confused or challenged. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of times that person is you. So how did that come to be where you said, I'm going to make this kind of a thread that a lot of us are confused or challenged by what goes on around us?
Befuddled.
Befuddled. That's perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to approach life and I like to approach my comedy. You know, I like to be a decent guy, a good guy. I don't mean any harm. You know, there's some weird people out there, and there are some weird situations that can all make us feel a little goofy and a little stupid sometimes.
Sure.
Or angry. You know, I have anger fantasies in my comedy, too. So I like to explore those by doing these little goofy fantasies within my jokes. And I think people seem to respond because I think most people, you know, are just trying to get through life without hurting anybody. But every once in a while, you want to poke a stick back at life.
That's a good point. I like the way
that.
You put that.
I love that. All right. I know this sounds like a job interview question, but I'm just curious what your answer will be. In 5 years, where are you and what are you doing?
I thought you were going to say, what would you consider your biggest weakness?
That comes next. That's my
that
next question.
Next. Yes. 5 years. Wow. Well, you know, if I get lucky enough with this Netflix show where they want to do this, I'd like to be doing that. But I also have fantasies of retiring. You know, I've talked to other comedians like Jerry Seinfeld. You know, I've been lucky enough to do his Comedians in Cars. He thinks comedians are just comedians until you die.
Yeah.
And when I tell him that I want to retire, he thinks I'm out of my mind. He's like, you can't retire. You know you wouldn't. You know after like 2 days, it would drive you crazy. But I have that fantasy of saying, hey, man, you know, I've done this for a while. It was good. I loved it. But now I want to try fishing.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I remember hearing Johnny Carson in an interview after he retired. And he did not do a lot of interviews. But they said, what's the biggest thing that you miss? And he said, thinking of something funny during the day and realizing I don't have a stage that night to say it on. You know, and so...
Although now he would have had Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
That would have
True.
Been something that would have helped him, because a lot
True.
Of these people like to get it out that way. He had
that's
nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Poor
that's
guy.
Right. When he was done, he was done. But
and then, Brian, he started sending jokes to David Letterman for the monologue. You know that, right?
I did know that.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of, you know, what he missed. You know, if your whole career, your whole life has been about thinking of funny things, that would be weird to just...
Turn it
have
off.
To stop that, you know?
Yep.
So
true. Brian, love talking to you. You really are amazing on stage. If you haven't seen Brian Regan or if you've seen him before, go see him again. He's performing New Year's Eve at the Chicago Theater. You can get tickets to the Chicago Theater box office or by dialing up Ticketmaster. Continued success to you, Brian. I'm so happy for everything you've been pulling off.
Hey, Bill and Wendy, thank you both very, very much. I appreciate you guys chatting with me, and I hope you guys enjoy your holidays.
You as well. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
All right, you too.
Brian Regan, everybody. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news.
What about tickets?
Oh, tickets are available. Oh, you want to give the tickets away?
Well, shouldn't we?
Let's give them away right now.
Should we go double dip? Should we do a two for Tuesday?
Two for Tuesday, Wendy. Do it.
All right, we have two pairs of tickets to see Brian Regan. He is just so nice.
Yes. Funny and polite. If those are the two things you're looking for on New Year's Eve, funny and polite,
I am looking
Brian
for
Regan.
That. That's a really good combo.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, so, you know, if you're too
you're
polite.
You're either funny or polite.
Right.
But Brian is both funny and polite.
Two pairs of tickets. Brian Regan's show. It's at the Chicago Theater, New Year's Eve. You'll be out, what did he say, 9:45?
Yeah,
it's
right
8 o'clock
there.
Start.
Yeah.
And you can get tickets at the Chicago Theater box office, which is thechicagotheater.com. I looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ticketmaster. Or you could call us right now, and since it's New Year's Eve 31, let's do the first and third callers. We did it reverse, but that's all right. 312-981-7200. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets to spend New Year's Eve with Brian Regan, courtesy of us, right?
Yeah, they're from us.
All right.
Yep. Thank you, Kim. Sometime between now and noon, we're going to give away Steve Dale.
No.
We're not?
You can't give him away. I want him.
All right. Sorry, Steve.
I don't know. Not thank you, Wendy. I don't know who else wants me. I'm not sure.
Everyone wants you.
Noted
pet expert Steve Dale joins us, as he often does, to talk about the world of pets. How are you, Steve?
Not often enough, though. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks.
Welcome back. I saw in your Facebook post you were in Thailand.
It was amazing. Yeah.
First time there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. excuse me. It was absolutely incredible. It was our 30th wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
And we wanted to go somewhere we hadn't been before. There are lots of places we hadn't been, you know, but that was on the list.
Yeah.
And it's just so different, obviously.
I saw you were at
incredible.
A zoo. You saw a lot of animals. Explain the elephant sanctuary.
So one thing, of course, me being me, that I needed to do was to visit an elephant sanctuary. So here's their problem. They have two classes, if you will, of elephants. They have elephants that are wild elephants, not enough of them. They're endangered. So we went to a national forest,
uh-huh.
and we walked on trails, and we saw what we saw. We didn't see what we didn't see. So we heard gibbons.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we didn't get to see any,
yeah.
but we heard them.
You had a pet gibbon, is that?
I have a pet gibbon named Peanut the Gibbon.
You currently do? I thought Peanut's dead and
he
buried.
He was for a while, but he came back, like in Pet Cemetery.
Resurrected.
He's angry that we buried him. He's furious.
So we saw lots of different things, but what we were really looking for were elephant.
And I love elephants.
And they have about 300 very wild elephant.
Now, you
in
keep saying
park.
Elephant instead of elephants. How come you're saying it that way?
Because I never know how to say it.
It's elephants. More than one elephant.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. So many elephant we did not see. In fact, we
you have to say elephants. There's an S at the end.
I don't think I can.
What? No, the plural of elephant is elephants. I know that for sure.
So there were a lot of elephant that we might have been able to see.
It does sound weird now that he refuses to take your your lead on this.
All right.
So there were they're very large, and there are about 300 of them. And you'd figure something that large, we've got to see them, right?
Right.
But this is a very large national forest, and we saw where they had trampled elephant grass.
Yeah.
We saw what they leave behind when they go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Some of it was fresh. I took one picture, and they like salt licks.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go to the salt and lick the salt, and they had been there the night before. And they left deposits everywhere, and I took a picture with those deposits around me.
What a great... Please send me a picture of that photo, please.
Sure. Oh, and we played the song.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
We thought that would attract them.
Sure, they love the song.
But when you think about it, what were we asking for? I mean, there we are, just walking on trails.
Yeah.
Waiting for one or more, it could be a whole herd.
To come and trample you.
Perhaps.
Yes.
So actually, it was kind of dangerous what we were doing.
Yes, very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. So
there were no guardrails or anything?
No, we were in a national park.
Yeah.
Just walking.
Famous for its elephants.
Huh? Famous for their pachyderm.
Yeah.
Of which there were
is
about...
Latin, means thick-skinned.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. Yeah.
Brookfield Zoo script coming back.
Oh,
yes,
very nice.
yes. It's amazing how that stuff comes back.
I know.
So they had, oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of the species. Give me a minute, I'll think of it.
All right.
But I remember Binturong.
Binturong.
Yes. So I remembered, because this stuff comes back out of nowhere, that Binturong actually smell like popcorn. When you get close enough.
The whole animal?
Yes. That's absolutely. For all those who have worked with Binturong, I don't know. But for all those who have worked with Binturong,
they smell like popcorn.
Yes.
What do they look like?
Buttered popcorn. Oh. They look like large civets or very large.
Ask him what a civet
looks. I don't know what a civet is.
We saw a civet. Oh, that was so exciting.
Do you know Binturong is Latin for buttered popcorn?
Did you know that?
I don't think so.
No?
No, but it's amazing how this stuff comes back. I remember that, and I told the guy, one of the guides that works there, and he said, how do you know that?
Right.
You know? So I explained that I once worked at a zoo, and I remember that. Mm-hmm. But there are wild elephants in Thailand, is what I was saying, but there are also a group of elephants that they call...
You said elephants that time.
I did?
Yeah. You're getting better.
Thank you. That they call domestic. And they kind of, sort of... are domesticated
house
kind
elephants
of. Yes
yeah you yes. sure
they well they don't walk through the living room and they don't sleep with their people but for thousands of years they've used elephants as working elephants on farms and also in rural areas as they collect lumber
sort of
and cut
farm
down
work
trees
would an elephant be good
so
for?
if you're harvesting a field and you need whatever it is taken to market, you can get a lot more of it taken to market if you have an elephant pulling it, you know? Right. And they've been doing this for now 1,000 or more years in Thailand. And these individual elephant are a bit different than wild examples of that species.
Yeah.
Now, are they truly domesticated like our dogs are? No. Mm.
But they are hardly trainable, so they could be.
Yeah, they are different. And what do you do with them? So here's the problem. They have elephant that are abused.
Yeah.
They have individuals that are no longer needed or wanted for a job anymore.
Uh-huh.
So we put these dogs or cats in our country in the animal shelters, and then they're adopted out. Well, that's not a good... That's not
that
very
work
practical.
With elephants.
No! It really kind of wouldn't. So they put them in sanctuaries.
Oh.
And it was fascinating to be in these sanctuaries. So for one thing, we had to wear uniforms. We had to wear, and they're cute. They look like pajamas almost with little elephants on them. They're very, very cute.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking, why would they have all of the tourists do that? And I thought there has to be a reason beside the fact that you'd get your clothes dirty. I mean, why would they have people do that?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Because they're used to it and it doesn't spook them. Is that why?
You could be a zoologist.
I am a zoologist.
Yes. No, you're totally right.
Yeah.
Because these animals were, think about it, they were abused.
Yeah.
They were abused by human beings. They don't think positively of human beings.
Right.
So when human beings come wearing this one outfit.
They're used to it.
And they bring food.
That was a really good guess.
Yeah.
I'm a zoologist.
And they bring food. They associate people wearing those outfits with something really good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take them long to learn.
Steve, true or false, we've heard forever that elephants never forget. Is that real or not real?
That is real.
They always remember.
They are quite incredibly sensitive, smart animals.
Yeah.
They truly are. So the thing about elephant grave sites that you've heard about, that's actually very true.
They know where to go to die, right?
Yeah, so it is said. And they will come back and visit their long-lost relatives at that one place and offer their respects.
Interesting.
I mean, they come to these places and you see them and they trumpet and they do all these different things.
Yeah.
They try to take care of one another. So there was a pregnant... They don't spay or neuter the elephants like they would, you know, animals here.
Yeah.
So there are two pregnant elephants at the sanctuary. And those individuals then were... They knew each other and they liked one another, but they became instant. I've got videos of this interacting with one another. They became instant, like best friends. They're expecting around the same time, and it's as if they knew it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really
like
is.
Like Gail and Oprah.
Yes.
Like Gail and Oprah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. It really. I mean, they are amazing animals, and I've been around them before because of my zoo experience.
But not wearing pajamas with elephants on them.
Never
That's
wearing that. And also not quite interacting in the same way. We actually got to go into water with them and scrub their backs.
Oh.
I mean, it was really an amazing experience. But be careful. We chose the sanctuary very, very carefully that we went to. Some of them still have performing elephants, and some tourists don't want to see that. These elephants have a choice. They can interact with the tourist or not. It's up to them.
Oh.
And that's kind of what I wanted.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I saw on the news that there's some additional restrictions for comfort animals.
Yeah.
Can we take a break and talk about that?
Totally.
All right. Steve Dale. You can. What's the best website to send people?
SteveDale.tv.
Gotcha. Talking to noted pet expert Steve Dale, and you can find him on Sunday mornings. Is it Sunday mornings when I hear you?
I think.
Bright and early.
I mentioned you this Sunday.
I wasn't listening this Sunday. What did you mention me about?
I don't remember. But it was. Oh, remember with that? There was a dog named Quirky. So we had this dog in from. I do an adoption segment with Steve Cochran about once a month where we bring a dog in from an animal shelter and usually very quickly get that dog adopted out. For reasons unbeknownst to me, this perfectly wonderful dog, we could not get adopted. I had to really work at it, and so did animal control, of course. But I mentioned how everyone, including Wendy Snyder, went crazy over this one dog.
Oh, Quirky was adorable.
But I also said, but that doesn't count because Wendy goes crazy over every dog that comes into the studio. But but the other office staff did, and that's what I said.
Oh, I hope Quirky gets adopted.
He did. He did. That's what I was excited about.
Okay, good.
Yes, yes.
All right. If you wanted to use Quirky as a service dog, it's going to be a little stricter. We have talked about this. But, I mean, you can go to Amazon and get a vest that says... You know, therapy dog.
$19.99.
Not for real.
Like, no, it's not. And you can get psychologists to sign off on the fact that you need one. And that's not for real either. It's $29.99 or whatever the price is.
That doesn't seem right.
And that isn't right. And people are taking advantage of the system. And that's complicated things a lot. So the airlines are trying to respond to all this. So Delta Airlines did two things earlier this year, and they did something yesterday. So what they did earlier in the year, I like one of the things that they did. I very much do not like the other. The thing that I like is they said, we have a no-fly list. So peacocks, wallabies, spiders, reptiles of any kind, on and on and on, cannot be considered comfort animals.
Oh.
Forget about it.
You sound disappointed.
Well, Wendy, as you know, I have a therapy badger, and I wonder if I'll be able to fly with him anymore.
No, it's over.
That's bad news.
But good news for me, because I don't think you could have a therapy badger. However, the bad news, in my opinion, of which at times I do respect, is that pit bulls, they say, cannot be therapy animals. It doesn't matter. That dog could be a dog for a U.S. veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder syndrome doing its job every single day, certified appropriately, but because somebody decides... So I did a blog post and I showed a dog that you look at and say is a lab mix, maybe. But someone could also look at that dog and say there's pit bull in that dog. If somebody does that... And who's the dog expert at Delta Airlines doing that anyway? So if somebody does that, then that dog can't fly. So that I'm very angry about. In fact, surprised that, and maybe it is being challenged in court and I don't know about it.
It should be.
It should be.
Why can you let therapy Rottweilers or German Shepherds?
Or anything. Poodles, I don't care.
Poodles are mean. That's because they look stupid with those poodle haircuts.
Wow. A dog is a dog. You know, it doesn't matter. So... What they did yesterday, though, is that they said, all right, dogs must be over 8 weeks of age, no matter how long the flight is. And if the flight is over 8 hours, the dog can't go, or cat, or whatever the animal is.
Do you agree with that?
I probably do.
I kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah. I the age part I don't know about, because if they're in a cabin... They should be fine,
but
even in a
trained,
young age.
This isn't therapy dog. This is just a...
Because
they're not really trained at 8 weeks.
No, you can't have an eight-week-old therapy dog. So they're saying any dog that is of that age cannot fly. And I don't agree with that. What I do agree with is the eight-hour thing. That's just too long.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not fair to the other passengers. It may not. I'd argue it may not be fair to that dog to be... Now, if it's a therapy dog... it's still not allowed for that eight-hour flight.
That's too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve,
you know, so break it up, you know, if you can.
I need your noted pet expert opinion on something.
Yes.
PETA put out a statement about a week ago saying that there are certain phrases they don't want us to use anymore.
Really?
We can't beat a dead horse. We can't be used as a guinea pig.
We have to bring home the bagels.
Yeah, bring home the bagels, not bring home the bacon. take a bull by the horns. You can't do that anymore.
And there's never kill two birds with one stone, I suppose.
Never. Yeah. All right, so...
And what was it? Beat a dead horse, feed a fed horse? That doesn't even make sense.
Right. That's how they want it changed over at PETA. I know you know these people over at PETA. What are they thinking exactly with these?
I have no clue what they're thinking, and they're kind of crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, our expressions are our
animals aren't offended when we say these things, are they?
I rarely get emails from them.
Animals saying they're offended?
No,
all right,
no,
that's good
no.
News.
I might be offended, but, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, I would not be offended by that. And I think we have more important things to worry about.
That's what I told my therapy badger. Exactly what you just said. That's what I told.
That kind of therapy.
Yeah.
Like it's a therapist?
Yeah, it's a therapist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they're cheaper than some
Way
others.
Way cheaper.
They're cheaper than a gibbon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't I know it.
Gibbons are better listeners. Yeah. So I am so excited.
Okay, let me just apologize to all the poodle lovers out there because
someone
getting
texted
me.
Getting angry texts.
And that's a cute poodle.
Yeah.
But you
poodles
know,
are very smart.
Oh,
they're really
totally
are.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes when you had, like, the big round thing at the end of the tail. I watched the dog show. I know they still do it, but I thought maybe the poodle was embarrassed looking like that.
Some might be, actually.
So I didn't mean to interrupt.
Why are you excited, noted pet expert Steve Dale? How come?
Because there's a movie about feline infectious peritonitis.
Finally.
I know.
Hollywood has finally gotten a wake-up call.
You've been waiting for that.
Why is there a movie like that?
These two young people who happen to be filmmakers purchased a little kitten now a couple of years ago from a pet store.
Yeah.
So first of all, that's not a good sign. They now know that purchasing a dog or cat from a pet store, you potentially are asking for trouble. So they bring the kitten home. The kitten's very sick. It has an illness called FIP, or feline infectious peritonitis, and it's fatal. So they were taken aback, gobstruck. Is that really?
They were gobsmacked.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Elephants can be.
Yes. The plural.
By the way, this text just in. How many elephant does it take to make elephants?
Steve, you want to answer that?
Funny you should mention
a
elephants.
Herd. A herd.
A herd. Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
So these. They happen to be filmmakers, and they said, we want to spread the word about this so people know about this illness, create awareness, but also raise money to help with research. And the research money goes in part to the Win Feline Foundation, which funds exactly that kind of research. In fact, I just got off the phone this morning. There is a drug that is in the process of approval that will at least help some kittens with this illness. So we're making progress, and the film is now available at no charge if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber.
Yes. All right.
Well, thank you for that.
And it's called Aeris, A-E-R-I-S.
It's a documentary or a drama?
It's
docudrama.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank
Have you
Steve.
Seen it?
I'm not gonna watch it.
Oh,
it's too sad.
When are you it on is, again next time?
Sunday morning, 6:35, but I'm not.
You're not on this week?
Explain.
I can't.
No.
I'm not sure. I think Matt Bubala's filling in.
Okay.
I don't honestly know.
Right. Well, we can go to your SteveDale.tv.
Yes. Everything is there, always. Or my Facebook fan page.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, guys. I know. Thank you. Thank you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN.